Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. We're going to get right to it, as we always do. Sleep. You don't want to hear any more about this because it's just so obvious. There's just so many opinions on it. You've heard them time and time again. But guess what? You're still not doing it. Sleep. The dangers of having interrupted sleep. I want to focus on the urination issue today. I want to start with the easy stuff and get on to the hard stuff. Important topic for nutrition fans, because you know what? After that first round of herbs, whether it's herbs to get you to sleep or herbs to get you to stop urinating at night, when they don't work, they tend not to work. That's the good news and the bad news about the herbal remedy for sleep and for evening urination. If you take the herbs, you're going to find out real soon, first or second round, in other words, within the first or second week, whether the herb is going to work. You'll get a very definitive answer. Generally, people with acute infections, acute urinary tract infections, are going to get their answer real fast. But the minute you go chronic, whether it's a chronic prostatic issue or it's a chronic bladder issue for the females, you're in that place where you're in the law of diminishing terms if you're looking for the herb symptom cure. If you're looking to use the herb long term to fix what's really going on, well, that's a different story. So the good news is, if you're awakening and you're not getting that straight sleep, which is its own book in itself, I've got one on the site straighttalk.cc, Lights Out, a book called Lights Out by Brent Formby and T.S. Wiley. It's an entire book on what happens when you don't sleep. Don't want to get into that today. You know all the dangers of no sleep. But I wanted to do this show today because lots of people, they hit 55, 60, 65, they haven't had a straight sleep, a good seven straight hours in years. If that person is you, I have some insights today that, as always, are going to go outside the realm of pure nutrition, because that's where I see it work. Getting into the herbal game a good 15 years ago, I experimented with no hesitation on all levels to see what herbs could do to take chronic urinary issues, urinary incontinences, where you wake up once or twice a night, it interrupts your sleep, you don't feel buoyant in the morning, but you get used to it over 10, 20, 30 years of basically just accepting that that's your sentence in life. So the first thing you're going to do is figure, well, you got to have the right herbs, you got to have the right herbal combinations, and then you have to try the right concentrations. So I got my hands on the best herbs, I got my hands on the best qualities, I applied them correctly, I applied them as others have applied them correctly, and I looked at result, and what I found is lots of people suffer from that once or twice irritation during the evening, during their sleep cycle, and they just take it for granted because they, like I, have tried the herbal remedy and it hasn't given them satisfaction. And that's because it's outside the realm of nutrition. There are structural issues with the bladder that you just have to investigate, that take a little bit of time, that run deep. But if you understand them, then you can beat these issues of urinary, either it's incontinence or whether you don't have incontinence, you can hold it, except that you've got this urge to urinate a couple times a night. Male or female, it comes from different places. So I want to get to the bottom of this today. I think we can do a lot in 60 minutes. So let's take a look at the anatomy Again, get on the website, straighttalk.cc, if you're new to the show. I have lots of pictures. We have 30 pictures to follow the dialogue today. So get to the website, straighttalk.cc, see if you can follow this pictorially. If you're just driving or you can't get to the computer, I'll describe it as best I can, as always. So first, just to understand, if you don't sleep, you don't make your hormones. If you don't make your hormones, specifically your adrenaline, you're going to feel tired all day. You're going to go into a pro-inflammatory state. And if you've listened to this show before, that initiation into a pro-inflammatory state of life, that's the basic breakdown of all function in the body. The first dent in your cell comes when the inflammatory stressors aren't countered by cortisol. And of course, cortisol is what you make a full reserve of when you sleep. Not to mention when you sleep and you make your full reserve of adrenaline. And what sleep? Well, we say 5 hours, but that's going to vary. For some people, it's 6 straight hours. For some people, it's 7 straight hours. The point is, how much sleep does it take to get you off the bed with buoyancy? How much straight sleep do you need to wake up and feel like you didn't need that extra hour or two? That's really the measure you have to give it. So when somebody says 5 straight, well, lots of people will note less than 5, you're in the danger zone. After 5, it's tolerable. But that's really not what we're talking about. What we're talking about is the amount of sleep you need to bounce up out of bed. And if you can't get that bouncy feeling, no matter how much sleep you get, well, then you've got problems that are deeper than that, and they have to be looked into also. But important distinction, it might take you 6 straight hours to bounce out of bed. It might take you 7 straight hours to feel like you had your sleep tank filled up. What you can't afford to do is think that because you get up twice a night, but you go back to sleep immediately. You hear this all the time, this delusion that people have that they can fall asleep at 11 o'clock, get up at 2, go right back to sleep after they urinate, get up at 5, go right back to sleep after they urinate. And they've been doing that for 10 to 20 years, and that's okay. Don't do that. It may feel okay because you may be fortunate enough to have that kind of reserve, but it's not okay. And you may have forgotten, because you've been doing it so long, what real rest feels like. Keep in mind, under supervised care, a good doctor, a good physician, a good counselor is going to wait until that client, that patient, has their sleep cycle change over time to the point where this client, the patient, will say, I don't know what it is, but my sleeps are so much deeper now. That plunge into deep sleep means the body's going into anabolism as opposed to catabolism. Catabolism is when we break down. In a minute, I'm going to talk about catabolism or breakdown as it relates to the bladder not being able to repair the epithelial lining on the inside of that sac we call the bladder. If you're in catabolism, that bladder can't repair itself. And the sleep issue and the urinary issue, waking up at night to urinate, the dangers of it, is in negative reciprocity with the sleep issue. So I want you to get that, and we'll backtrack for a second. Reciprocity, the going back and forth between two variables. So the two variables here are sleep and urination, or the health of the bladder. When you don't sleep, you don't make your hormones. You don't go into repair state. If you don't go into repair state, how do you repair the inner lining of the epithelial layer of the bladder, male or female? If you can't, that epithelial lining, deranged, not repleted, not repaired, is going to be hypersensitive. It's going to be hyperirritable because it's not repairing itself to the free radical assaults of what you're excreting through your urine. So you can see how tricky this is. Obvious things are always like this. The most obvious things take you down. You know, it's the things you don't see that get you, and it's the things that you don't see that are often right in front of your face. What you usually spend half your life focused on is what never happens. Some people think that's because they focus on it that it never happens. That's probably not true. Probably most of the things that you worry about and focus about and associate to your perception of why things happen and don't, half the time that's just misdirection. In retrospect, you always say, it's what I didn't see that was right in front of my face. What's right in front of your face is 10 to 20 to 30 years of waking up a couple of times a night to urinate and just deciding to live with it. That cycle in negative reciprocity, because you can't sleep, because you get up to urinate, means you can't repair that inner lining, means your inner lining to the bladder, male or female, is going to be hypersensitive, and so you're always getting up to urinate. That's that negative cycle. I see people fall into this at about 60, and it can be bad. One thing that happens is your blood pressure goes up. One thing that happens is you get irritable. Your blood sugar will go up. You will not repair your muscles. Your sex hormones will dissipate, fall away. You'll age prematurely. The list is on and on. Check the website for a book there on picture number 30, it actually is my last picture. So the bottom right-hand corner lights out. That's Brent Formby and T.S. Wiley. Dr. Formby's got three PhDs. He's up at UC Santa Barbara. He's from Scandinavia. He's really an outstanding researcher, and he's got this wonderful book. You can get it in paperback for less than $10. It's called Lights Out. Wonderful treatise on what happens when you don't sleep. I can tell you this clinically as a clinician. If I can't get people straight sleep, they don't heal. The most significant factor watching the evolution of disease in a person over time is that they didn't sleep. You take the person that comes down with cancer or the disease of sorts, or gets to the point where they can't function anymore, can't work because of some malaise, some triage of symptoms, and I promise you, you'll see 2, 3, 4, 5, 10 years of poor sleep. There's nothing I would put higher in priority than sleep. And the number one cause of why people don't sleep is urination. So this isn't a little thing. The bladder may not be the most interesting topic to talk about on radio. Urination may be not the tip of your tongue at a party. But nonetheless, this is big. So first issue to understand is that negative reciprocity. You can't repair because you can't sleep. Now, to get the best bang for the buck, in other words, to go for that quick fix, you got to look at the number one reason. Again, this is so self-evident, but people overlook this time and time again. And that is, don't drink later than you have to. Well, what does that mean? It means if you stop drinking at 8 o'clock and you get up to urinate 2 to 3 hours after you go to sleep, stop drinking at 7 o'clock. Or stop drinking at 6 o'clock. Stop drinking at a hour that you can't possibly later on be getting up to urinate because of. So stop drinking at 5 o'clock. If that's what's necessary, then do it. Find that number and then deal with it from there. So first, easy fix. Check your hydration levels. Hydrate yourself fully in the day and then at night. Cut back until you don't get up. That'll solve about 20%, 25% of your sleep issues. On top of which, yes, you can use an age-old wonderful remedy called flower pollen. Okay? I think Premier Research Lab sells that as ultra pollen. Take 6 to 9 to 12 spread throughout the day and give it a week or two. But I caution you, many of you, at least half of you, on a healthy dose of flower pollen combined with cutting your water back, cutting your liquid back, will still find you're getting up once to twice a night to urinate. Wanted to cover the easy fix. Most of you, I should say at least half of you, will not get the easy fix. To really understand why you're getting up to urinate at night, we got to run a little deeper into the show. A little deeper into the show means we've got to go outside nutrition for a little while. So I've got a picture. I think it's the picture of all pictures on the website. Picture number 5 or picture number 6. I put 2 of them there for you. If you're looking at picture number 5 or 6, if you're driving or you don't have the pleasure to be at a computer, I'll describe it. At the base of your urinary bladder, so above your pubic bone, you know where your pubic bone is. Above your pubic bone, if you press backwards towards the back of you, your fingers are going to be pressing into the bladder, the urinary bladder. That bladder is connected to the kidneys by 2 big tubes called ureters. When you have a kidney stone, your kidney makes this stone. It's a uric acid crystal or a calcium oxalate crystal or a calcium phosphate crystal. Your kidney makes this stone. We'll get into that maybe later. And that stone works its way down the ureter, the connector between the kidney and the bladder. And, of course, that stone is like a cockle burr. It's like a thorn. It's like star-shaped with all these sharp points on it. And when it gets caught in the ureter, the tube, as it goes down towards the bladder, the pain is beyond pain. It's one of the top 5 great pains that you can have. It's a pain that will defy morphine. You will hear people scream for morphine as that kidney stone moves down the ureter. When it falls in the bladder, it generally dissolves. What wouldn't dissolve under the high toxicity of your urine? You probably dissolve lead in your urinary bladder if you had to. So that kidney connected to the bladder through the ureter, where you fill up with your urine. Hopefully you're looking at plate 5 or 6 on the website. Before that urine comes out of the bladder, it passes through a diaphragm. Now what that means is that there's a sheet. You can see it very clearly. It's not labeled. It's a straight, flat sheath. It's this muscular layer that wraps itself around the lower opening of the bladder. That is the diaphragm. It's the pelvic diaphragm. We did a show on this. And if that pelvic diaphragm has integrity, you got to catch this. And I'll show it to you with pictures. And it's very important that you do understand this. If that pelvic diaphragm, that flat sheath that you're looking at in the picture, if you can, and you may not be able to, but if you can contract it with integrity, you will not be getting up to urinate at night. You will not be getting up to urinate at night anymore. But to get tone into that diaphragm is one of the central primary drivers of health. Remember the show 2-3 shows back on the 3 diaphragms, the cerebral diaphragm, the diaphragm in the middle, and the perineal diaphragm, the pelvic diaphragm. The diaphragm down there that surrounds the neck of the bladder. Big news. Super important. And I'm not talking about Kegel exercises. I can't even say the word. Those Kegel exercises for old men and old women, you decrepit people out there that can't hold your feces. Just squeeze a little bit, 2-3 times a day in the old age home with your friends, and voila, you won't have to wear diapers anymore. No, we're not talking about that. We're talking about something much, much more dynamic than that. We're talking about taking a 70, 80, 90-year-old person and restoring vigor to them. We're talking about training your teenagers, your people in your 30s and 40s, not to evolve by having a tone, a weakening of that diaphragm, that pelvic diaphragm, such that you can't hold your urine anymore. Now, quickie, little insert here. Ladies, a cesarean and an episiotomy, you lose the tone of that pelvic diaphragm. That tear in the cesarean above the pubic bone, that tear between the vagina and the anus. That tear causes a malcontraction. You can't contract with integrity there. You lose power. And ladies, you know, after birth, after the difficult births, the cesareans, the big tears, even the little episiotomies, you'll notice you don't have your holding power. The walls of the vaginal canal are looser. The bowels are looser. You don't hold your urine. If you work out and jog and exercise, sometimes it just leaks out. This whole process occurs. A high percentage of that is because of those tears. But that's not really the issue. The issue is to be found in the sacrum. So I want you to take a look at that sacrum there. And I want you to take a look at picture number 11, if you can. That's picture number 11. Right at the bottom of that picture, that's a picture from Frank Netter, Netter Images. You can see that bone at the bottom there, below the fifth lumbar vertebra. That's called the sacrum. Do you see that connection of the sacrum to the pelvic floor? Do you see that connection of the sacrum to that pelvic floor, the perineal muscles? When you try to contract those muscles in the perineum, the sacrum has got to move. It's got to pump. It's got to come forward. Its lower half has to lift up. Pardon the analogy, but when you're walking your dog or when you're looking at your cat in the kitty litter as it urinates or defecates, it kind of tenses its lower half of the body. And you see it curve the lower end of its body. As it curves the lower end, it's using the sacrum as a shovel to push out the feces. Well, that's what we do when we contract to hold our urine in. The tone of that pelvic diaphragm around the lower neck of the bladder, the tone of that, the integrity of that, the power we feel when we hold it in, that power implies the anterior tilt of that sacrum. That's if that sacrum can move. That's if that sacrum is not being made immobile. If it's not fused to the fifth lumbar vertebra, if it's not held in rigor mortis because the muscles down in that lower area are so stiff. And there is the secret of holding your urine. Now, why can't America get this? If you're not sleeping because you're up urinating, because you don't have the tone in that bladder that you did 20 or 30 years ago, you're doing everything to fight. Every supplement you take, everything you do for your health, every wish and dream you have for yourself, for your wife or husband, and your family. That's how important sleep is. You put sleep there way at the top. Nothing short of an invasion from Mars should deny you your sleep. Nothing should deny you your sleep. There's just nothing that should ever get in the way of that sleep. And I can tell you, as a versatile clinician, nobody heals until they straighten their sleep pattern out. So if you're stuck there with chronic urination, there's a lot of causes for it. We're going to get into them, hopefully, if time permits, which it only permits so much, unfortunately. But the fact of the matter is, if you could mobilize the sacrum, and you could therefore increase the tone of the pelvic floor, then you could very easily exert enough power through that contraction, or you could exert enough constant tone to that lower bladder area to hold your urine the full 6 to 8 hours. It is that simple. We could stop right here. We won't, but we could. Question is, can you do something about it? I mean, realistically, can you get flexible enough? Pilates level flexible, yoga level flexible, the quadriceps, the adductors, the hamstrings, and the psoas. Yeah, it comes down to the psoas again. There's nothing going on down there. There's no pathology, the testes, the uterus, the ovaries, the bladder, the prostate, the kidneys. There's no pathology down there. There's no chronic symptomology after it doesn't resolve with an easy 1-2 with the herbal blend. If it doesn't resolve, there's nothing that doesn't involve the psoas. So just pause a moment, take a look at it. I've got a great picture. I found a great picture for you. First, I just want you to look at picture number 16. We did the psoas in green for you. It's just beautiful. If you're new to the show, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health. I like to do the show with the website. That's straighttalk.cc, not .com. If you're just driving on the freeway listening for the first time, as many of you do, underneath your belly fat, which you don't have, underneath the rectus abdominis, the anterior abdominal muscles, underneath that is your guts, your small, your large intestine. If you take those out, all the way out before you just get out your back, you go through your body all the way out your back, there are these two huge muscles. They look like giant trees, and they connect from your lower lumbar vertebra, L1 to L5, I should say, into your thigh. These muscles are part of the posterior abdominal wall. In front of them are your guts, and in front of your guts is your belly button. So these muscles, the psoas included, are way in the back. They connect from your lower lumbar spine to your thigh. When those muscles get tight, something funny happens. Now, you guys that are on the website, look at picture number 18. Super, super amazing picture. I've been waiting for somebody to do this picture for a while. On the left, you have a normal psoas. In other words, that muscle has not yet gotten functionally incompetent. That muscle has not gotten deranged. It has not shortened yet. It has not gotten fibrotic. You're like the dancer. Remember Michael Jackson when he would glide across a floor? Remember the moves he used to pull? That's what you call a functional psoas muscle. If you watch a dancer from Allegra Kent to Edward Villella to Nureyev to Baryshnikov to your average break dancer at the Venice Boardwalk. Anybody that knows how to keep the rib cage stable and just wiggle the lower part of the body, those moves that people tend to think they can't make except anywhere on a dance floor. That type of motion in the lower pelvis proves, it equates to a competent psoas. But what happens when you're walking around as if your rib cage is fused to your pelvis? You're walking around as one big block. Next time you see someone using a cane, they look like if you took the cane away, they tip over. Because the rib cage and the pelvis are functioning as one stock unit. That's an incompetent psoas muscle. Now, what makes a psoas muscle incompetent, what turns it into a useless muscle effectively, implies, results in a shift in the position of the muscle. As a psoas becomes inflexible, it moves anteriorly. So I want you to look at that picture, and you can see the psoas on the left is normal. The psoas on the right has come forward. If you're not on the website, just understand, as that muscle gets tight, as its synergistic muscles, the quadriceps, get tight, your thigh muscles get tight, your psoas gets tight, it pushes your guts forward. This is so important for you to understand. It's just so central. We've got to be able to pull this off on radio. Not all of you can come to the school. Not all of you can experience, through teaching, learning, supervision, the shift I'm talking about. But you got to get it in your head, at least pictorially. Because if you understand, at least in your mind, hopefully in your mind's eye, that when that psoas comes forward, it's going to crush the bladder. The lower part of your abdominal cavity, where the psoas lives, is going to be compressed as the psoas comes forward. Ladies, if you take your fingers and put your fingers above the pubic bone and press backwards, you're pressing right into the urinary bladder. You have to know that. Behind that bladder is your uterus. the uterus is posterior to the bladder. So if you take your fingers, put it above your pubic bone, and press backwards, you're pressing right into the bladder. Gentlemen, you're pressing right into your bladder. Behind that bladder is the uterus. Now, if you have the psoas coming from the back of that, pushing forward, you're going to crush your uterus into your bladder. You're going to torque your prostate into your bladder. If you can get on the website, straighttalk.cc, just look at picture number 20. I put picture number 20 there so you can experience and see what I'm talking about. You can even look at picture number 21. And you can see if that bladder, rather if that uterus being pushed by the psoas, being pushed by the bowels behind it, if all of that was to come forward towards your belly button, the bladder is going to take the beating. What we're seeing then is as the psoas displaces anteriorly, you wake up at night to urinate because your bladder can't hold the water anymore. Pressure into the bladder causes you to urinate before the bladder's filled. It's a physical structural compression. We have a physical structural compression accompanied by a physical weakening because the pelvic diaphragm is also losing its tone. So you're 16 years old. Before you go to bed, you can drink a gallon of water. Sleep 8 hours and wake up in the morning. You haven't torn between the vagina and the anus. The prostate's not enlarged. The body's relatively flexible. The cerebral the pelvic diaphragm is strong and toned because you're flexible. You as a child, you as a teenager are the break dancer. You get on the dance floor, you watch somebody do it, and you do it yourself. So collectively, the psoas is in its correct position. The bladder's got enough room. The bladder's got enough tone. You haven't even gone via infection and poor eating to the point where your body's become hyperacidic. So even the urine that you're passing down and through that bladder, that urine is still alkaline enough not to irritate, even if that inner lining to the bladder was not repleting, was not regaining its strength. Now, as time goes on, you get stiff in the quadriceps. You get stiff in the hamstrings. You get stiff in the adductors. The psoas moves anteriorly. It crushes the bladder. Then the bladder itself, because the sacrum is fixated, the pelvic diaphragm, the muscles of the perineum, the crotch, lose their tone. Because to keep their tone, their contractile force, you have to pump your sacrum. So you lose that ability for the same reasons you lose flexibility in the psoas. So now you don't have the tone at the lower neck of the bladder, and you're compressing the bladder. How do you expect to fix that with an herb? We're not understanding the problem. And I hope you understand the point. If you can take flower pollen, if you can take aloe, and we'll get into these things, uva ursi, gravel root, corn silk, marshmallow, if you can take some of these well-known herbs that help and tone the bladder, astringents combined with uric acid softeners, bladder cleansing herbs, so on and so forth, herbs like aloe that will replete or at least soothe the inner layer of an irritated epithelium, if you don't get the quick fix on that, you got to go to the deeper cause. This is the deeper cause. I experimented with this for years. We would do everything we could herbally for people to get them on the other side of these chronic bladder issues. We never saw it work. We'd keep people on for 6 months with doses that were horrendous, doses that were minimal. We changed the doses. We changed the herbs. We'd do everything. You could call it an interference field. You should look for a scar. I explained episiotomy. I explained cesarean. I hope you understand. An interference field is a structural blockage. Not being flexible is its own form of an interference field. Then, of course, there's the psyche. the psyche will hold a tone. Check the show last week, the week we did on Freud, that the brain is wired to the orifices. The brain is wired to the anal sphincter. The brain is wired to the vaginal canal. The brain is wired to the prostate. The brain is wired to the muscles. And if the brain is tight, those urogenital diaphragms, those urogenital orifices will be tight. If they can't let go, they lose their tone. They become hyper irritable. Whether you're up at night urinating because you can't hold, or you're up at night urinating because you're hyper irritable because the tone is too high. So tone. So check out, okay, let's keep it easy for you. Let's check out, once again, picture number 5. For those of you who were not at the computer, just understand, when all that water is in the bladder, it comes out through an orifice. When all of that water goes through the urethra of the prostate is controlled by these circular orifices. And those orifices are wired into the brain. Those orifices have a tension in them. That tension we call the tone. They shouldn't be too loose, and they shouldn't be too tight. To put it bluntly, should the anal sphincter, should the urogenital orifices be too loose or too tight? They should be just right. They should have the right tone. Should a guitar string be tighter or looser? Should a sheath on a drum be tighter or looser? Musicians tone, they adjust the strings. They adjust the diaphragm of a drum to the right tone. They tighten or loosen until they get the right sound. It's the same thing in the body. You have to be able to control the tone of your sphincters. And if you can control the tone of them, they'll work for you correctly. That tone is structurally controlled. We're knocking on the wrong door with bladder problems. If you're getting up at night to urinate regularly, half the time, not all the time, we'll get into that, but half the time you're knocking on the wrong door. You have structural issues that we are failing as a nation to understand. Just think of the breakdancer you once were, or would have been, had breakdancing been around back then. Think of the breakdancer you're not. Think of really that low back is rather tight. Think of that low back, that sacrum, that fifth lumbar vertebra, that perineum, that cesarean, that episiotomy, that tear. Think of all the weight down there sometimes. Think of it all leaving you as one fused mass right up to your rib cage. And I know you're not going to ask yourself or ask me what to do about it. What to do about it is right in front of you. It's called get flexible. It's called get toned. It's called Pilates. It's called yoga. It's called massage. It's called all of this to critical mass, though. You see, that's the point. You have to take it to the point where you become like the breakdancer. So don't take the sucker's version of therapy. The sucker's version of therapy is to get the therapy applied and look for the cure. Oh, I tried it. It didn't work. It doesn't work that way. Whoever told you it worked that way, whoever took your money making you think it would work that way, is just afraid to tell you the truth because then you might not pay. Get that one correct. If you're new to the show, this is Straight Talk on Health. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. If you're out there spinning and you want the straight track, 949-873-2127. 949-873-2127. I'll put you on track. One consult will do it. It's not going to cure it. It's just going to tell you where to go. It's going to give you an opportunity to understand how to navigate your cure. Most people fail to heal because they don't know how to navigate themselves. This isn't 1950. It's not 1960. It's not even 1980. It's not even the year 2000. It's 2013 going on 2014. And it's going fast because the summer's already gone. And where did it go? And that's what we're all thinking. It's 2013 turning 2014. Guess what? These old perceptions of take the herb and find the cure are dead because it doesn't work. Take the chiropractic adjustment. Take the acupuncture needle. Take the Pilates class. Take the yoga class. And, yo, yes, I tried it and it didn't work. You're ready for the upgrade. The upgrade is, did you learn it correctly? Did you achieve critical mass? Was what your practitioner in yoga, in Pilates, in nutrition, in psychiatry, in psychology, is what your practitioner, your healthcare provider, trying to provide you with, was it rate limited by some other entity outside what you were paying them to fix? Effectively, were you unsupervised going to an auto mechanic with an electrical problem? Were you asking a priest to fix a plumbing problem? Were you asking a plumber to do psychiatry? Were you deciding in your innocence and sometimes ignorance and sometimes arrogance that you could navigate your way through the storm? Well, I'm here to tell you that you should try, but you have to understand you have to get educated. You wouldn't spend your life savings in the stock market if you didn't really have the education. But you decide it's okay for you to go out there and apply cause, fix, to all the various avenues in holistic medicine. You often don't know what you're doing and where you're going. And that's what we have to change for you. That's the driver on this show, if you're new to the show. Okay, good. A little bit about the psoas once again, where the real cure is for many people that suffer from incontinence. That the posterior abdominal wall has that psoas, that you've got to get that psoas flexible like the breakdancer, or it'll move forward and crush the bladder. It'll crush everything that's there, the uterus. Guys, it's no different for you, that prostate gland. I've got some great pictures of the prostate. I put them there for you. And if you want to take a look at that prostate, once again, I've got that wonderful picture, picture number 5. There, as you pass out the bladder, comes the prostate. Why do you think that prostate hypertrophies? When that prostate hypertrophies, it has to press up and out against the prostatic capsule. Yeah. We're going to talk about how the testosterone converts to the dihydrotestosterone because of the xenoestrogens and this and that and the other thing, how some men have more receptor sites and are more susceptible to that, thus their prostates will blow out faster than other prostates. It's true. It's true. It's stated. It's stated. It's overstated. Yes, guys, the saw palmetto, the diazogens, the xenoestrogens that you can bind up with certain types of sea greens so that they compete with the xenoestrogens that will hypertrophy the prostate. Very important to understand. But you know what? Tons and tons of these cases don't resolve. Again, they don't resolve to the herb, which doesn't mean you shouldn't try the herb. I've seen much more success on the prostate, on chronic prostatitises. If you're infected, whether it's in the bladder or you're infected in the prostate, chronically infected, you're going to do a heavy, fairly long-term sweep with anti-infective herbs. You're going to put bear garlic down there. You're going to try olive leaf. You're going to try anything that functions as an anti-infective herb that's more specific to the prostate or to the bladder. You'll even try antiparasitics. You're not going to isolate the problem. If you've got a chronic bladder infection, if you've got a chronic prostatic infection, good luck at isolating the virus, the bacteria, or perhaps the parasite. Good luck. You're not going to get anyone to do it. If your brother was a pathologist, they wouldn't do it. If you went in there and biopsied the tissue, you wouldn't find anything. You'd have to pull out the whole organ, chop it up in a blender, separate everything, and you'd have to list the top 200 entities, microbial entities that you were looking for, and then test them over a period of months before you'd even have a clue. It's presently about impossible. Now, yeah, we've got a few exceptions to the rule. There are a few buggers that we can isolate. But by and large, lots of people get these chronic prostatic infections, which defy antibiotics. I'll tell you, if it defies an antibiotic, if your urinary tract infections are defying antibiotics, if they're defying prostates, if they're defying, if your chronic prostatic infections are defying antibiotics also, usually they're going to defy herbs. Not always. I would recommend heavy doses of good quality herbs, and you all know where to get them at Premier Research Labs. We don't have a shortage here of high quality herbs. But the point is, statistically, when it defies the antibiotic, it generally defies the herb, and we know why. Nutrition's got a better understanding of why than most infectious disease, at least as they vocalize it. You defy the herb in the chronic infection because you've developed biofilms. The infections in the prostate, the infections in the bladder, are encapsulated in these mucus sacs. This is where you got to get off the herbal bandwagon. Or at least you've got to do something tandem in association. You've got to get it to the point where you can pump the prostate, where you can pump the bladder. Again, you're doing this to get a good night's sleep. So what if you woke up a couple of times? So what if you urinated? If you're getting up at night to urinate two times a night, so what if that were in the day? So what if you were urinating six or seven times a day? Maybe it's annoying, but in a sense, who cares? It's very easy to do. But think about it. This chronic infection, you've tried antibiotics, you've tried systematic sweeps of anti-infective herbs, and you're not getting results. That's a biofilm. You've got to be able to. In a better world, you'd be able to reach in, pull out your prostate, roll it around in your hand, really squeeze it, give it a good massage, squeeze out all the pus and granulated acids and bugs, and you'd be able to wash it in some sort of a solvent, something to take out the mucus, something to degranulate the crystals. You'd be able to wash it again. Then when the prostate smiled and said, "I feel good," in your hands, you could just put it back in there, and you know what? Your infection would be gone. Then you get to work on the bladder. You take the bladder out. You look at that muscular wall in the bladder. If you don't sleep, you don't make your hormones. If you don't make your hormones, the tone of the muscular wall of the bladder, you will lose your tone. It will become flaccid. Ladies, if you've had your uterus taken out, worse yet, uterus and ovaries, the bladder will tend to prolapse. If you've got a prolapsed bladder, it's not going to hold its urine. It's going to be hyper-irritable. Tone, after you've had the uterus taken out, I would be tightening my lower abs. I would be really going into core Pilates. I would be getting really flexible and really toned. I would want to take my lower belly muscles and give them the tone of a teenager. And if you do, I don't care what they've done. I don't care what they've ripped out of your lower abdomen. You will sleep the straight night. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health. This is core nutrition. This is core healing. This is cutting out all the frills and giving you the no frills. Because I'm assuming you want cure. Because I'm assuming you've been around the block many, many times. This is for an educated audience. You don't walk into GNC and ask your vitamin therapist what the solution is, because you probably know more than your vitamin therapist. 949-873-2127, 949-873-2127. If you're still spinning despite your education, come to my school. Give that school 6 months, 12 months. Give it time. Let these concepts marinate within you. Let you and your fellow classmates do some of these things, like get the bile moving. Do some of these things, like get the pelvic diaphragm tight. Do some of these things, like shift the psoas back where it belongs. Do some of these things, like find foods that actually go to certain parts of your body, and you can feel it happen. Participate in an educational forum. It costs nothing next to the cost of disease. It costs nothing next to the cost of curing chronic symptomology. go to the school, go to the archives. $24.95 for 119 shows of stuff you will not hear anywhere stated like this on public radio. That's 30, 20 cents a show. Do it that way. If you want a more advanced pace, come on in for a couple hours. If you just want to listen on radio, get the essence. Take it into yourself. The essence today. Whether it's urination issues, whether it's bladder issues, prostate issues, ovarian issues, whether it's kidney, you have to consider what's going down in that lower pelvic basin. If you're not sleeping at night, you're not making your adrenaline and your cortisol. The inner lining of that bladder, again, I've got a wonderful picture for you, picture number 8. The inner lining of that bladder is a muscular layer. Right at the edge, the part that the urine touches is an epithelial layer. So you look at that picture number 8. What the urine is touching when it fills up your bladder is an epithelial layer of cells. That epithelial layer breaks down as the waves of toxic urine. It is toxic. That's why your body's sending it out. Those waves of toxic urine begin to eat up those cells. Those cells need to rebuild. The toxic urine will inflame those cells. It'll eat them and inflame them. If you don't make your cortisol, it'll get superbly inflamed. If you don't have your hormones made, your estrogen, your progesterone, your testosterone, you can't rebuild those layers. If you're protein deficient, you can't rebuild those layers. If the muscular wall, the muscular layer of the bladder, loses its tone because you can't pull tight because of fixations, psoas, and in the sacrum, you lose your tone. So the bladder is like a factory. Its epithelial layer can break down. You can lose tone in the muscular layer. So as the muscles become flaccid, as the cells, the epithelial cells, don't replete, your bladder becomes vulnerable to the assault of toxic urine. Now, suppose you're a construction worker. Suppose you're exposed to high levels of toxicity each day. When you sleep, your body's going to use your sleep at night to get rid of those toxicities. If you're a construction worker, if you work on cars, if you work near an oil field, if you work in dirty air, if you work in a smelly office, if you're a hairstylist, if you do jewelry, you have to check the relationship between what you do for a living, the occupational toxic hazard of what you do for your living, and the fact that you get up 1 to 2 to 3 times a night to urinate. Your kidneys may be strong enough to pull out that garbage from the blood, and it doesn't care that it's doing it at night, because if the levels of toxicity exceed what your brain can handle, if the levels of toxicity in the blood from a good day's work will exceed what the brain can handle, your brain will push it out through the kidneys at night when you sleep, and you'll be getting up to urinate. Not because your bladder does not have tone, not because you have an anteriorly displaced psoas, not because you have a weak diaphragm, but simply because to keep yourself alive, you've got to push the poison out of your blood as you sleep. You see this when you take drugs, pharmaceutical drugs, you may need to take them, make you toxic. So you're up all night peeing, diuretics from blood pressure. You know, the worst loop with all this, the worst loop you can get into is you hit 60, you can't hold your urine, then you don't get your sleep, then your blood pressure goes up, then you go on blood pressure drugs. They're always going to give you a diuretic. The diuretic's going to make you urinate out at night. So now you've added insult to injury. The topper is those drugs are toxic to themselves, so they're irritating the kidneys. Your pHs are going even more acidic, and collectively you're falling apart simply because you don't understand some basic principles that are free and easy, things you can get on radio for nothing. I've watched good men go down. I've watched them stroke out. I've watched them lose their minds. I've watched them go on antidepressants. I've watched women do the same, and it's all because of simple, basic little things like we're talking about on the show today. But you've got to be willing to reach a little deeper into your understanding. I feel you. I think you're getting it. Good for you. You're getting it. Interstitial cystitis. That's different. Did I talk about interstitial cystitis? It's not different. If I don't cover a pathology, understand that every pathology you look at is going to come down to a structural cause, a psychological cause, a biochemical cause, and a physical scar from a physical trauma. If you're out there listening right now and you've broken your tailbone, your coccyx is malaligned, if you've broken your femur, if you have a metal rod in your upper thigh, if you've had your hip replaced, there are structural causes, emotional causes, chemical causes, and then physical scars from physical traumas will pull organs out of place. So I did cover interstitial cystitis. I did give you a perception, cancer of the bladder. Before you get cancer of the bladder, I assure you, the body was breaking down in some ratio of structure, chemistry, psyche, and physical scar damages. I assure you, before you see disease, before you see symptom, any ratio of these four issues has been occurring, and you don't track it. That's what education's about. Education is for you to get in touch with four variables and then weigh that to the amount of pleasure you can put through that organ. I asked you 2 weeks ago. I said, when you squeeze down there, does the warmth go up to your head? Hell to you when you wrote in and said, yeah, I get it. Rest assured, your bladder's in better shape. If you can pump pleasure into any part of your body, those cells are happy and they're dancing and they're in alignment with God. Take that to the bank. 949-873-2127 if you're still lost. If not, pat yourself on the back. We'll see you next week.
Been listening to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Invite your family and friends to the show and learn about Dr. Medici through his website, straighttalk.cc. He'll give you the tools you need to save your health and prevent unnecessary surgeries and harmful drugs. He's dedicated to your ultimate healing. Join Dr. Medici next week at 10 a.m. for more Straight Talk on Health. This show and the information therein has not been evaluated by the FDA, and recommended products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The information provided on this site is for informational purposes only and is not intended as a substitute for advice from your physician or other healthcare professional.